This was like 4 years ago now, when I had just turned 21. My besties Tiffany, Samantha, and Danielle wanted to take me out to celebrate, so we went to this club downtown called The Cave. I was so excited since it was my first time going to a club legally. We were having a blast, dancing and drinking those fruity cocktails they serve there. After a few drinks, I was definitely feeling tipsy. Then this guy comes over and starts dancing with me. He was super cute, tan skin, muscular, long hair. We danced for a while, and he was being really flirty. He told me his name was Derek and that he wanted to show me something cool in his truck. I know I shouldn't have trusted some random guy at a club, but I was drunk and thought he was hot, so I went with him to the parking lot. That was so dumb of me. The last thing I remember from that night is walking towards his big black pickup truck before everything went black. When I woke up, I had no idea where I was. I realized I couldn't move my arms or legs. I was sitting on a cold, concrete floor, and my wrists were chained to the wall. I started freaking out. Then I noticed my mouth and eyes were taped shut. I heard a door creak open and heavy footsteps. A deep voice said, "Morning, sunshine. Comfy?" It sounded like the same voice as that Derek guy from the club. My heart sank at the possibility that he had kidnapped me. He said, "You're far from anyone who can help you now." I wanted to ask him what he wanted and where I was, but it just came out as mumbles from the tape on my mouth. He ripped it off, which really hurt. I begged him to let me go. He just laughed and said, "We're going to have some fun first." Then he retaped my mouth and left the room, locking the door behind him. I sat there crying, with no idea where I was or what he was going to do to me. The room smelled damp and moldy, like a basement. I could hear trees rustling outside, meaning I was near woods. I had no way to call for help or escape. Over the next few days, Derek kept me trapped in that cold, dirty room. He would come in periodically and force food and water down my throat. Other times, he would beat me or burn me with his cigarette butts. Each time he hurt me, he said it was my punishment for being so foolish and trusting a stranger. He would then come in twice a day to allow me to relieve myself in a bucket, while he stood there watching and mocking me. I lost track of how long I was down there. It felt like weeks. I would cry myself to sleep on that hard floor every night, cold, bruised, and terrified about what torture he had planned for me next. I missed my family so much and just wanted to go home. One day, Derek came in and said he wanted to play a game. He grabbed me and dragged me outside into the cold woods. He kept my mouth and eyes taped shut and tied my hands behind my back. "You have 5 minutes to run as far away as you can. Then I'm going to hunt you down like the dog that you are," he growled. Then he shoved me hard and I fell forward. He yelled, "Run." I was terrified and disoriented. I couldn't see anything, and my legs were weak from being chained up. But I managed to stumble to my feet and start running blindly into the forest. I knew I only had minutes to get as much distance between us as I could before he came after me. I ran wildly, branches whipping my face and arms. My lungs burned, but I pushed myself faster through the woods. I tripped over roots and rocks, but forced myself up each time. There were several times where I ran straight into a tree, almost knocking myself out. I had no idea if I was going deeper into the forest or back towards safety. All I could do was run. My legs throbbed and my chest ached as I sprinted blind through the forest. I could only hope I had put enough distance between me and that psycho before my 5 minutes were up. I ran on, stumbling blindly through the woods, desperate to escape. I had no idea how long I had been running blindly through those woods. It felt like forever. My legs were burning, my lungs screaming, but I couldn't stop. I knew Derek would be coming for me soon. Suddenly, I heard a man's voice yell. I freaked out thinking it was Derek, but the voice called out, "Hey, don't be afraid, I'm here to help you." I hesitated, unsure whether to trust him, but I was so exhausted and terrified, I decided to stop running. The man ran over to me. He gently removed the tape from my eyes and mouth. I blinked against the daylight. He looked about 40, wearing camo hunting gear and an orange vest. He asked if I was okay. I broke down crying and told him about Derek kidnapping and torturing me. The man helped untie my sore wrist and said his name was Tom. He had been out hunting when he saw me running through the woods. Tom said we needed to get out of there fast before Derek found me. We hurried to Tom's big pickup truck. He grabbed an old blanket from the back seat and wrapped it around me to warm me up. I was shivering in just a tank top and jeans. We drove away quickly on a bumpy dirt road through the dense forest. After about 10 minutes, we emerged onto a paved road. I asked Tom to please take me to the police station so I could report Derek. But Tom said, "I really think we should get you to a hospital first and have a doctor check you out. You've been through a lot of trauma." I realized he was right. I was in bad shape and needed medical care. At the ER, nurses cleaned and bandaged my many cuts and burns. The doctor said I was dehydrated and malnourished too. Tom waited there with me the whole time, which made me feel safer. Once I was stable, Tom called the police from the hospital and told them what happened. Some officers came and I recounted everything Derek had done. They were determined to find and arrest him. With time, counseling, and support from my family, I've healed both physically and emotionally from the kidnapping. I still get anxious sometimes, but I don't let it stop me from living life. Last year, I even met a guy named Matt who understands what I went through. He helps me feel safe without being overprotective. We're taking things slow, but I can see a happy future together. I feel stronger now for having survived such a terrifying experience. I'm more cautious, but not paranoid. I know there are good people like Tom who will step up to help someone in need. The darkness didn't swallow me whole. I still have light and hope inside. Last summer, my wife Beth and I decided to celebrate our retirement by heading out deep into the forest. We rented a bare-bones cabin out in the middle of the woods for a week, starting July 15th. It had no Wi-Fi or cell service, which sounded perfect to us. We were so ready to fully embrace retirement after working for over 40 years. We couldn't wait to relax on the porch, read books, take walks, play cards, cook over the fire, and stargaze. No emails, phone calls, or anything else to distract us. Just quality time together in nature. The first couple days there were peaceful. The weather was ideal, warm and sunny, but not hot. We unpacked on that first day and got settled into the rustic cabin. I remember we cooked shrimp scampi for dinner and drank wine on the porch watching the sunset. On the third day, we went on a hike in the morning. The trails around the area were beautiful, surrounded by tall trees and a bubbling stream. We packed water and snacks to take with us. The hike took a few hours and we got back to the cabin around noon. After making sandwiches for lunch, Beth and I were sitting out on the porch playing gin rummy. All of a sudden, we heard a loud crash come from inside the cabin. I cautiously went to investigate while Beth stayed put on the porch. I didn't see anything amiss in the main room at first glance. But then I heard some rustling noises coming from the bedroom. I slowly crept towards the room, fearing someone had broken into our peaceful retreat. My heart started racing as I got closer to the bedroom door. I gestured to Beth to stay quiet and still on the porch. Peering into the bedroom, I didn't see anything out of place, but the rustling noise continued, seeming to come from the closet. Holding my breath, I quietly grabbed the baseball bat we kept by the front door for protection. Gripping it tightly, I approached the closet. Reaching out my hand to grab the handle, I steadied myself to confront whoever had invaded our temporary home. Taking a deep breath, I quickly flung open the closet door, bat raised and ready to strike. But instead of an intruder, a startled raccoon stared back at me. The critter must have found its way into the bedroom through a hole somewhere and was just rummaging around. I let out a big sigh of relief as the raccoon scurried between my legs and out the bedroom door. I walked back onto the porch, chuckling while explaining the incident to Beth. We got a good laugh about the misunderstanding. With the excitement over, we spent the rest of the afternoon relaxing out on the porch. I remember we were both reading our novels, some mystery thriller for me and romance for Beth. A little before 5 p.m., we heard the crunching of tires on gravel. A dirty, beat-up van had pulled up to the cabin. Two teenage boys got out of the van. They looked to be about 15 or 16 years old. One was tall and lanky, with shaggy blonde hair. The other shorter, with a stocky build and buzz brown hair. They were wearing torn, dirty clothes and looked like they hadn't bathed in days. The boys spotted us sitting on the porch and started walking toward the cabin. I stood up cautiously as they approached. In a gruff voice, the blonde one asked if they could have some food and water. He said they were lost hikers and needed something to eat and drink. I noticed the shorter one glancing around with his hands tucked in his hoodie pocket. Something seemed off about these kids. I politely replied we didn't have extra food or water. I suggested they follow the main road about 5 miles to the nearby ranger station for help. Suddenly, the stocky one pulled a gun from his pocket. He aimed it straight at me and told us to get inside. The blonde boy brandished a knife and grabbed Beth's arm to yank her up. Heart pounding, we did as they ordered, all the while wondering why this was happening. Once inside, they demanded we empty our wallets and hand over any valuables. The boys then forced us to sit on the couch at gunpoint. They menacingly paced around the room, seemingly fueled by a sadistic pleasure at having control through intimidation and fear. As they briefly turned their backs, I made eye contact with Beth, subtly nodding my head towards the nearby fireplace. Luckily, when packing for this trip, I had tossed in my concealed carry handgun. I had hidden it atop the fireplace out of sight, just in case. Keeping a cautious eye on the distracted boys, I slowly slid off the couch, crouching below window level. Quietly but quickly, I retrieved my loaded weapon from its hiding spot. My hands were steady despite the adrenaline flooding my veins. Rising up, I leveled my gun at the stocky armed boy closest to me. In a firm voice, I told them both to drop their weapons and get down on the ground. The blonde one looked shocked but obeyed, but the stocky one made the mistake of turning towards me with his gun raised. Out of instinct, I fired off two quick shots. One hit his shoulder, the other his stomach. He cried out in pain and crumpled to the floor, dropping his weapon. The blonde boy froze, eyes wide with fear and disbelief at what just happened. Beth sprang into action, grabbing towels to apply pressure to the injured boy's wounds. I kept my gun fixed on the two assailants as I called 911 to report the incident, using our personal satellite phone. The blonde boy was surprisingly cooperative, kicking his partner's gun away and keeping his hands up. He pleaded with us to not shoot again. Within 10 minutes, two park rangers arrived, having been patrolling not far away. They took in the scene and immediately called for an ambulance. While waiting, one ranger questioned us about what happened. We explained how the two boys ambushed us and forced their way into the cabin at gunpoint. I told him I only fired in self-defense when the stocky one turned his gun on me. The rangers determined I acted lawfully in protecting ourselves. Soon, the ambulance arrived and loaded up the injured teen. The unharmed one was taken into custody by the rangers for attempted robbery. After giving our statements, Beth and I were informed both boys were runaways with records. We ended up cutting our trip short after this traumatic invasion of our peaceful retreat, but we were grateful no lives were lost. The authorities later updated us that the shot boy survived after surgery and would face charges. The trip was supposed to be a blast, a final hurrah for our buddy Frank before he tied the knot. It was me, Chris, along with Bill, Frank, and Max. We were all pumped about this hiking trip in the woods. We had been planning it for weeks, and finally, it was happening. We arrived at the trailhead on a Friday afternoon, the sun high in the sky and our spirits higher. The first day was just incredible. We hiked through some beautiful trails, saw some deer, and even went for a swim in a clear mountain stream. We set up camp as the sun dipped, the first night full of jokes, beer, and stories around the campfire. Everything was going great. We talked about Frank's upcoming wedding, joked about the old days, and just enjoyed being out in nature. We crashed in our tents later that night. But then, the second day is when everything went downhill. The sky grew dark early in the afternoon. By the time we realized a storm was brewing, it was too late. We were deep in the woods, the wind howling like a pack of wolves, and rain pelting down like bullets. We scrambled to pack up and find shelter. That's when we stumbled upon the cabin. It was old, looked like it hadn't been used in years, but it was better than nothing. We rushed inside, relieved to find cover from the storm. The cabin was dusty, with creaky floorboards and old tattered curtains. It had two rooms and a fireplace that looked like it hadn't seen a fire in ages. We quickly got a fire going, trying to dry off and warm up. We were all a bit uneasy about the cabin, but we didn't have much of a choice. As the night wore on, things started to feel off. The wind outside howled, making eerie noises that seemed to creep into the cabin. We tried to brush it off, keeping our spirits up with jokes and stories. But deep down, we were all feeling it. The cabin had a strange vibe, like we weren't alone. We each shared how we were seeing and hearing things, like faint whispers that seemed to come from the walls. Then it got worse. I know this sounds insane, but each of us were actually hearing voices in our heads. I know this because each of us actually said it out loud. We each tried our best to ignore it, tried to tell each other it was just a storm, just our imaginations. But the voices wouldn't go away. It was like the cabin itself was alive, feeding off of our fear. It was supposed to be a fun trip, but this was turning into something completely different. The night dragged on. None of us could sleep. The voices grew louder in my head and was completely unrelenting. It was like the cabin was playing tricks on us, seeping into our thoughts. Frank was the first to crack. He just stood up, his face pale as a ghost, and said he needed air. We watched him step out into the storm, and that was the last we saw of him. Bill was next. He started mumbling to himself, his eyes darting around the room as if he was seeing things that we couldn't. He kept saying we weren't alone, that something was in here with us. Then, in a sudden burst, he bolted out the door, disappearing into the howling darkness. Max and I were left, and the fear was tangible between us. We barely spoke, just sat there, listening to the wind and the voices in our own heads. Morning couldn't come soon enough. When the first light crept through the dirty windows, it was a relief, but a hollow one. Max was shivering, not from cold, but from the sheer terror. He looked at me, his eyes hollow, and whispered that he couldn't stay here any longer. I watched him leave, following the others into the unknown. I was alone, the silence in the cabin more terrifying than any storm. I stepped out at dawn. The storm had passed but left a chilling fog. The woods were eerily quiet. I called out for my friends, hoping they'd answer, but there was nothing. Just the sound of my voice echoing back at me. I found their belongings scattered around. A dropped flashlight here, a torn piece of jacket there. It was like they had just vanished into thin air. I hiked back to my car in a daze, my mind numb. Driving to the nearest ranger station, I reported them missing. The search lasted for days, but they never found a trace of Frank, Bill, or Max. The police questioned me. It was pretty clear I was being looked at as a potential suspect. But what was I going to tell them? That we were all seeing things and hearing voices in our heads? That each of my friends, one by one, were driven mad and ran off into the forest? If that's the case, then why didn't I do the same? What made me so different than the rest of them? As you can tell, I had a very hard time explaining what the hell happened that night. The aftermath was the hardest part. Frank's fiance, she couldn't look at me without breaking down. She blames me, and till this very day, thinks it has something to do with Frank and everyone going missing. I can't blame her, really. I ask myself every day if I could have done something different. While I no longer hear the voices in my head, the memories of that night are still alive and well. It's a burden I carry. The weight of their disappearance, the unanswered questions, the unending what-ifs. That cabin in the woods, it took more than my friends. It took a piece of me too, a piece I'll never get back.
The plans I had scheduled with my friends had fallen through, which meant I was left with a day wide open and nothing to fill it with. Bored out of my mind, I figured I would go out for a hike. After all, it's not like I had anything better to do. The place I chose wasn't new to me. I had been hiking there loads of times. It's a vast, heavily forested area that I kinda knew like the back of my hand, or so I thought. As I was walking along the main trail, something odd caught my eye. There were these thin, almost hidden trails branching off. I had hiked here so many times before, but I never noticed them. That alone was weird enough. My curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to follow one. It led me deeper into the woods, into a section that was thick with trees and brush. It was like stepping into another world, one that was seemingly untouched by man. I won't lie, I hesitated for a moment. There was something eerie about straying from the familiar path into the unknown. But as I mentioned, I was way too curious to resist. So, I convinced myself to keep going. As I made my way through the dense foliage, an old-looking cabin appeared in the distance. It was so out of place and forgotten. The windows were boarded up, and the front door was hanging open just a crack. This place was as sketchy as you can imagine. I looked around, expecting someone to jump out and tell me I was trespassing or something. But I didn't see anyone else around. It was just me in this creepy cabin. So, I decided to take a peek inside. The place was a mess, debris scattered everywhere, and the only light came from streaks of sunlight sneaking through the cracks in the boarded windows. It felt like stepping into a time capsule, one that hadn't been open in years. As I explored, I found a room with a door that seemed out of place. It was closed. Curiosity won again, and I opened it, only to find stairs leading down into a basement. It was cold, way colder than it should have been, and pitch black. I pulled out my phone, turned on the flashlight app, and started to descend. What I found was unsettling. Holding cells scattered throughout the basement. And then, that sound. A low, grumbling noise coming from a room at the far end. My heart was pounding in my chest, but I couldn't help myself. I had to see what it was. As I peered into the darkness, I caught sight of something, or someone, hunched over on all fours. They were huge, almost too tall to make sense, with hardly any hair on their head, and they were eating something. It was the most bone-chilling scene my eyes have ever laid witness to. The moment I gasped, everything changed. The creature, or whatever it was, stopped what it was doing and turned its head towards me. The speed at which it moved was unnatural. And then, that screech. It was like nothing I had ever heard before. Piercing, chilling. It felt like it went straight through me. That was the moment I knew I had to get out of there. Whatever curiosity I had was gone, replaced by primal fear. I ran out of there like I was an Olympic athlete. The stairs seemed to go on forever, but I finally made it back to the ground floor and bolted out the cabin door. The sunlight had never seemed so welcoming. I didn't stop to catch my breath. I didn't stop to look around. I just ran, trying to find the thin trail that had led me to this hellhole. Finding the trail was a stroke of luck, or maybe it was sheer panic driving me. I don't know. But I found it, and I followed it back to the main trail, running faster than I thought possible. Every rustle in the bushes, every snap of a twig underfoot, it all made me think that thing was right behind me, chasing me. But I didn't dare look back. I couldn't. The fear of seeing it following me was enough motivation to make me haul ass out of there. When I finally saw the parking area where my car was parked, it felt like seeing the finish line of the longest, most terrifying race of my life. I didn't slow down until I had thrown myself into the car and locked the doors. Only then did I let myself breathe, let myself feel the shaking that had taken over my body. I was covered in sweat, my heart was racing, and I was overcome with a sense of disbelief. Had that really just happened? After I gathered myself, I began my drive back home. When I got there, I locked the door behind me and collapsed. It took me a long time to process what had happened, and even longer to even think about sharing it. I mean, who would believe a story like that? It sounds like something you would see on Netflix, but not something that could happen in real life. To this day, I have no idea what I saw in that basement. Was it a person, some kind of animal, or something else entirely? I don't know, and part of me never wants to find out. I haven't gone back to those woods since, and I don't think I ever will. Some mysteries are better left unsolved, some places better left unexplored. That day changed how I see the world and the memory of it. That fear, it still haunts me. My girlfriend and I had been looking forward to a getaway weekend for ages. My folks have this cabin out in the woods, pretty isolated, but it's a great place to unwind. The first day was exactly what you would hope for. Quiet, just nature and us, a real escape from the city's constant buzz. We spent the day hiking, saw some deer, and the night came with that peaceful kind of silence you only get miles away from the nearest town. Sounds perfect, right? Well, that was just day one. The cabin, it's got this old, backwoods vibe to it. Wood panels, a fireplace, the whole deal. It feels like stepping back in time. We had a pretty chill night, cooked dinner, played some cards, and decided to hit the sack early. There's no cell service out there, which was the point. But looking back, it kind of added to the whole situation. You don't realize how much you rely on that instant connection to everyone else until it's gone. Now, here's where things start to get weird. It was the middle of the night. I'm not sure what time, but it was pitch black outside. Suddenly, I'm waking up to my girlfriend nudging me, whispering that she hears someone walking around outside. I was extremely groggy, and my brain was trying to process what she was saying. After a few seconds, I started to listen, and sure enough, there's this sound, like footsteps on dry leaves, just circling the cabin. We're both lying there in the dark, trying not to make a sound, listening to these footsteps. And then, the knocks. Five of them, slow and deliberate, on the front door, It's like whoever it was knew we were awake, listening. It's one thing to hear someone outside. It's another when they're making it clear they want you to know they're there. My girlfriend was terrified, and honestly, so was I, but I was trying to keep it together for her sake. After the knocking came silence, and then this whistling starts up. It's this eerie tune, the kind that gets under your skin, and it's moving around the cabin, like this person is just casually strolling, taking their time. The footsteps and the whistling, it was like they were playing a game with us, seeing how much they could freak us out. And it was working. We were too scared to even consider looking out the window. We didn't want to see whoever was out there. That hour, waiting in the dark, felt like a lifetime. My girlfriend was practically in tears, and I was doing my best to reassure her. But what do you even say in that situation? Eventually, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to know if someone was actually out there. So, I crept over to the window, heart pounding, and took the smallest peek outside. Nothing. Just the forest and the moonlight. No sign of anyone. Deciding to go outside was not an easy choice. My girlfriend was begging me not to. She had this petrified look in her eyes, but something inside me just couldn't let it go. I needed to know we were safe, or at least get some sense of control back. So, I reassured her and said I promised to be careful and stepped out into the night. The air was cool and the silence was back, but it felt different now. Heavy, like I was being watched. Walking around the cabin, I kept trying to convince myself it was just some local kids messing with us, or maybe a curious animal. But deep down, I knew it didn't add up. The knocking, the whistling, it was too intentional. Every rustle in the bushes had me on edge, expecting someone to jump out. But it was just me out there. Telling my girlfriend it was clear outside didn't seem to ease her fears, and honestly, it didn't do much for mine either. We decided the best thing to do was wait for sunrise, then get out of there. Neither of us could sleep, so we just sat up, talking softly, jumping at every little sound. It was the longest night of my life. As soon as the first light crept through the curtains, we were packing up. We didn't bother with breakfast or cleaning up. We just wanted to leave. The drive back was quiet, both of us processing the night. It was only when we got back, and I mentioned it to my dad, that the weight of it really hit me. He was confused and said he had never heard of anything like that happening out there before. It was like our experience was just out of place, unexplainable. We've talked about it a few times since, tried to make sense of it, but there are no answers. Who was outside? What they wanted? Why they chose to mess with us? It's just all speculation. The not knowing, it's almost as bad as the experience itself. It's this open-ended question that lingers, a reminder of how vulnerable we felt that night. But one thing's for sure, we haven't been back to that cabin since. You know, it's not every day you get to escape the grind, especially when money's tight. My folks had been scraping by for as long as I can remember, so when they announced we were heading to a cabin in the woods for the weekend, it felt like we had hit the jackpot. It was our version of a Disney vacation, and man, were we pumped. The cabin was as isolated as they come. Picture this, surrounded by trees, an old generator chugging along for power, and the bathroom was an outhouse, a good sprint away from the main living area. It was different, but exciting in its own woodsy way. This definitely was a different experience for all of us, but we were still looking forward to it. That night, Dad asked me to take our dog, Max, out for a walk, Now, Max has his habit of bolting after squirrels, so a leash was non-negotiable. I didn't think much of it. It would just be a quick stroll. But as we wandered further from the cabin, this eerie feeling crept over me. It's hard to explain, but it felt like we weren't alone. As we moved through the darkness, I kept hearing these odd sounds. Branches snapping, leaves rustling, and not in the, oh, it's just the wind kind of way. Then, there was this smell, like rotten eggs thick in the air. It was nasty, and it seemed to come out of nowhere. And just when I thought it couldn't get weirder, a small rock whizzed past us, landing with a thud on the leafy ground. Max went ballistic, barking his head off in the direction of the thrown rock. That's when my heart really started racing. Something about his reaction, the way he was so on edge, it got me. I didn't wait around to see what might happen next. We turned around, me practically dragging Max, and speedwalked back to the safety of the cabin. The second we were inside, my mom caught one look at my face and knew something was up. So I told her about the weird feelings I was experiencing, to the rock being thrown at us, and Max's freakout. And just as I was getting to the part about rushing back, this loud bang echoed against the cabin, like someone, or something, had thrown a large rock at us with all their might. The sound alone almost gave me a heart attack. Little did we know, the bang was just the beginning of what turned into the longest night of our lives. We all huddled in the living room, and Dad, trying to see what was out there, peeked through the window. His gasp was enough to tell us it wasn't good. He swore he saw a huge figure by the tree line, but it vanished before any of us could catch a glimpse. Not taking any chances, we all went upstairs to my parents' room, figuring there was safety in numbers. Up there, the sounds outside got even scarier. Heavy footsteps circled the cabin, mixed with this grunting sound and what I can only describe as heavy breathing. It was literally terrifying. Then, the most chilling moment, a loud bang against the front door, followed by a roar that sounded too monstrous to be real. It was unlike anything I had ever heard. I remember the look on my dad's face. It was like his soul left his body. I don't remember ever seeing such fear in his eyes until that night. As if that wasn't terrifying enough, next came the sound of glass shattering. Our car alarm started blaring. Whatever was out there had moved on to our car. And then, just as suddenly, the roaring stopped, and it sounded like the creature ran off into the woods. And let me tell you, whatever that thing was, sounded big. Morning couldn't come fast enough. When we finally ventured outside, the sight that greeted us was a mess. Our car's windows were shattered, and there were these huge dents on the roof and doors. It was clear something had attacked it, but what? We couldn't say for sure. All of us tried looking around the ground for any signs of tracks or footprints, but there were none. That didn't make any sense, since we all clearly heard heavy footsteps that should have definitely left some sort of mark on the ground. But we didn't stick around to find out more. We packed up and left that same morning. Dad's convinced it wasn't a bear, says it was something else. Something he can't explain. The rest of us, we're not sure what to think. All we know is that what was supposed to be a fun family getaway turned into a nightmare we would never forget. Looking back, it's weird how something like this changes you. I used to love the idea of adventures, of being out in the wild. But now, let's just say I prefer the city much more. That night showed us that there are things out there in the dark that we can't always explain. And sometimes, ignorance really is bliss.